BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No, no, no. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you. Drop it.
Promo.com. I am Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hello!
And yes, in your hometown, you 95% of the time, you lose.
Unless you're CM Punk.
Unless you're CM Punk and you're leaving the company. But beyond that, but if you think about it, he came back and then I think he lost in his hometown back in December, so.
Yeah. So they got him. It just took him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Most times you lose in your own hometown. That sort of thing. So there you have that. Anyway, we got 3 hours of Raw in Calgary. Dramatic pause. Alberta, Canada to get through tonight. The show opened up with John Cena in the ring. Cena opened by saying there seems to be a lot of unrest here tonight. And anxiety, anger. He said that he gets why over a week ago there was a last man standing match for the WWE title, and it was, you know, had some controversy to it. Cena said both men were down for a count of 10, so both men believe they deserve to be the WWE champion. First there is him, John Cena, and then there's Ryback, who got some booze. And how did Ryback want to solve this controversy? He challenged him to an ambulance match at Payback. And then we got a We Want Brett chant, which Cena actually acknowledged. Cena says he thinks Ryback didn't think things through. Then Cena mocked Ryback as a small-minded individual distracted by bright lights. Well, anyone can get distracted by bright, shiny things.
Rock.
What? What are you talking about? Ooh, new toy.
Focus. Focus on the Raw.
Focus on the Raw. Cena said he had a week to think about it, things, and then they said Payback should be hell. And at WWE Payback, Cena said the match will be 3 stages of hell. Awesome, we get 3 stages of hell for the first time in a long time, and this is only going to be the 4th ever. So, in this one, we get a lumberjack match. Stage number 1. Then, because the fans sort of used to chant, we want tables, we get a tables match for stage number 2. And then stage number 3 will be the ambulance match. Cena said when that happens, if he wins the first 2 falls, he said he'll then you know, drag Ryback over to the ambulance and send him straight to the medical facility in the ambulance. Ryback came back, came out. Ryback said he agrees with Cena. Payback should be hell. He said he drove Cena through this LED board, not caring what was on the other side. Ryback said he tried taking Cena to hell, and then called himself Lucifer and Satan, and you know he just said he quoted himself saying, "John, say hello to Ryback," and then just walked away. So instead of we getting a tease for Hell in a Cell, we get Lumberjacks, Tables match, and an ambulance match.
Oh my.
Kind of a letdown, a little bit.
You know, honestly, if the finale is going to be an ambulance match, fine. Like, even the tables match isn't bad. I think the one that just doesn't fit is a Lumberjack match.
Because, you know, it should be tables, cage, ambulance.
It just, there's something about it that it's like, okay, we're going to throw a lumberjack match in there, I guess, to get everybody on the card. I don't know. It just, one of these things is not like the other, because the whole point of a lumberjack match is the fact that the lumberjacks keep the two guys in the ring, or supposed to, and then it erupts into mass chaos, usually.
Right.
So, and then they're going to go into a tables match. It's like, they might as well just name this 2 out of 3 falls.
Well, that's what it basically is. This is a 2 out of 3 falls match, but it's supposed to be hell on you. Because you're supposed to go through 3 grueling matches. And when you think lumberjack, it's not really grueling. It's just there.
Yeah, so it's almost like it's random. It's like, we're just going to take... It's like, okay, well, we've got the ambulance dip. And you know what? To be perfectly honest, I was fine with the ambulance dip. I didn't have a problem with it. It was a nice, I guess, step up from Last Man Standing.
Right.
And it's sort of that nice finale match, because whenever you do an ambulance match or anything like it, where whether it's buried alive, ambulance, casket, last ride match, whatever it is, that it's the finale on the feud. So it's a nice finality to have, you know, whoever loses, in this case probably Ryback, get thrown in the back of the ambulance and driven away.
Right. And from my memory, I can remember 2-3 stages of hell. There's one where it was Steve Austin and Triple H. I believe that was No Way Out, and that ended in cage. You then had Shawn and Hunter in one that ended in a ladder match, with Shawn being pushed over into about four or five tables, which was awesome. That was Armageddon 02 for the world title.
I think so, yeah.
Because that was a really good one. I can't remember the third, though. It's off the top of my head. But, you know, that sort of thing. So, we'll see what happens. They could do something good with it. But, you know, he talked about Lucifer and Satan, and then out walked the devil and Paul Heyman. Heyman built up Curtis Axel, noting that Axel beat Triple H so convincingly and decisive that Hunter will not be seen around here for, well, anymore. And Axel was then brought on the stage to stand next to Heyman. Cena wasn't too impressed. Heyman then noted his client was just watching Cena, and they believe Cena is a fighting champion, which is why he doesn't think Cena will back down from a challenge of his own. Heyman put it in bright lights. WWE Champion John Cena against future WWE Champion Curtis Axel. Cena then offered a piece of advice just to stay away from Paul Heyman. He's full of more crap than the stables after the Calgary Stampede.
Yeah! Cheap pop.
About a month and a half too early for the Stampede joke, but there you go. Axel then took the mic and tried to act serious, repeating Heyman's desire for a fight in the ring. Cena said Axel got lucky last week, so they'll see how good Axel is tonight, as they will have a match tonight. It'll be John Cena versus Curtis Axel.
Which, it's nice to see that they're following Triple H up with Cena, but my only issue with this was they should be having Axel proclaiming his victory over Triple H.
Right.
Where it's, I'm the man that put Triple H down. I'm the guy that that's put him out. And I'm going to do the same thing to you.
Right.
Because when they replayed the footage, they actually showed a potential spot where Hunter could have gotten the concussion, which is, I think, he did a kick to the head. Mm-hmm. And so it was a logical spot where he could have gotten the concussion. But, yeah, it's instead you have, well, I'm going to fight you, John Cena, because I can. So it's like, but you knocked out Triple H, you sent him to a hospital, and now he can't fight because of something you did to him.
Right.
If I did that to Triple H, I would be screaming that from the rooftops and then running for dear life.
Right. So, we'll see. I like what they're kind of doing with him. We'll get into that a little bit later as we go on through the show. But first, up first, it is our opening contest. Alberto Del Rio versus Big E Langston. This was promoted as Alberto Del Rio searching for revenge, even though he beat him on WWE main event.
Nobody watches main event, so it doesn't count.
They even mentioned it!
Again, nobody watches it, doesn't count.
I didn't see it, but I know what happened. This was fine.
It was a very solid match. It worked really well. The finish of the match was interesting. Somebody's in trouble.
AJ was distracting the referee by she exposing this steel turnbuckle. This was trying to give Big E some advantage, but Del Rio took advantage by, well, putting the arm breaker on. Big E broke it up, but was then pushed into the exposed steel, causing a roll-up and a three-count. Langston takes the loss to Alberto Del Rio. AJ, well, was yelling at Langston, and he wasn't happy, and, you know, she was screaming, I was trying to help! Yeah. There was a lot of frustrations on Big E's part.
He had an unhappy.
He did. He really, really did. So Del Rio wins the first contest of the evening. And then we go backstage with Daniel Bryan.
Will you please stop with the weak link obsession? The only one who associates Daniel Bryan with the weak link is Daniel Bryan. Being tough has nothing to do with your size, okay? Easy for you to say. You're nearly 7 feet tall. Look, if we're going to beat the Shield tonight and regain the tag titles as a team, you're going to have to pull yourself together.
Aha! Aha! I knew it. You think I'm going to screw it up tonight. You do think I'm the weak link.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. You guys need to take it easy. You two are one of the best tag team partnerships I've ever seen. Trust me when I tell you this. Tension like you got destroys tag team partnerships. Destroys them. You two are better in this.
Wow. Thanks, Brett. Quick question. You were the smaller guy in the Hart Foundation. Did anybody think that you were the weak link?
Let me tell you something, Daniel. Being tough has got nothing to do with your size. You're one of the best, toughest WWE superstars I've ever seen. Nothing stops you. Nothing. Got it?
So how is it that he can say that and you believe him, but I can say the very same thing and you ignore me?
Let me think. Maybe because that's Bret Hart.
The best there is. The best there was. The best there ever will be.
And you? You're just Kane.
He's looking for a whooping.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's dissect this a little bit. One. Daniel Bryan's face when Bret Hart walked in, priceless.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Daniel Bryan, 5-year-old kid standing next to Bret the Hitman Hart. And then, yeah, three, he's looking for the whooping. You're just Kane. He's Bret Hart.
You're just Kane. To which I had to sit there and kind of wonder for a second, wait, hasn't Kane beaten Bret Hart?
Mm-hmm. I think. Maybe.
Somebody Google this and find out for us.
Yeah, someone. I think Kane's beaten Bret. I don't even... Wait. I don't think so. I don't think they ever had a match. Because when...
I know he fought Bret as Yike.
Isaac Yankum. Yes, and Bret beat him there, but they traded wins back and forth. But as Kane, no. Because Kane came in late 97. The 1 month... Yeah, he never fought him. Unless it was on Raw. I don't think they ever fought on Raw, because they never were together at that point. Because Kane didn't make his wrestling debut till Survivor Series.
Okay, then.
All this history and more can be told in WWE 13, The Attitude Era.
I guess I should get on playing that.
Anyway, what do you think of the segment?
I thought it was hilarious. These two are just spot on, and it's like Brian scrambling in front of Kane when Bret walked in. Mm-hmm. Where he pushes Kane out of the way, and then it's like... Then just the acting between the two, it's... It's kind of scary that Kane is the voice of reason.
Oh, we'll have another comment about that little letter. Yeah, Kane, voice of reason. Yeah.
That's a little terrifying, but yeah, there's definite tension starting to build, which means the split may be coming sooner rather than later, which makes me sad, but... Mm-hmm. There's some definite, I guess you want to call it marital discord. But the one thing I loved was no more than 10 minutes after this segment happened, there was already 4 out of 10 meme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were on the ball tonight. Our next contest of the evening is for the United States Championship. Kofi Kingston challenges Dean Ambrose. Good match.
Solid match. Very solid match.
Ambrose wins with his I guess it's a front face DDT type thing. I'm not sure the technical term of it. I'm not the wrestler guy. But the awesome move he does for the victory to keep the gold around his waist. The members of the Shield came in to celebrate and then outstormed Team Hell No, and they're ready for a fight. And this is where Lindsay was like, I need time.
They did this to me Friday, and now they're gonna do it to me here, and that's just not nice.
She needs to come down a little bit. She gets raised up, and then she needs to be brought herself back down.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that this is how the house show went on Friday night, is that Dean came out, did the U.S. title defense, beat Kofi. Or no, he beat...
Truth, sorry.
And then it ended in chaos where the Shield went after Truth, and then Hell No came out, and then Sheamus came out, and they did the 6-man right after it. And it's just like there's no break in between, and they kind of did it here. The only break was there was a commercial, and it was just like, I can't do this twice in 4 days!
Especially when that match was so good tonight.
Oh, it was fantastic.
We had the tag team title rematch, the Shield defending against Kane and Daniel Bryan in a great match. The ending was a little bit interesting with Daniel Bryan still attacking Roman Reigns on the outside. Kane was like, you gotta get back to your corner, you gotta get back to your corner. Daniel Bryan wasn't listening, and well, the distraction between the two led to Rollins spearing Daniel Bryan. And then Kane looking up, and here comes a flying Seth Rollins, delivering the knee right to the head.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, the knee seemed... Kane was like a little early for the knee because he just stood there and watched it. Just a little bit.
It's been a long trip. He's tired.
He's tired. He just wanted to go to bed. So yes, the Shield retained the titles. This was great. This was a really great match.
This was probably match of the night.
Hands down.
Easily. I mean, these guys work so well together. Granted, they've been working each other now for months. So if they don't have it down by now, there's something wrong. But yeah, they're just these four, and when you put them in a six-man, they all work so well together.
Yep. And I think
you're going to get a great match every time.
And I think this was the last match we will see for a while.
Which makes me very, very sad, because this is some fantastic work.
Because we can tell the direction they're going next.
Yes, and I just kind of have to wonder, and we can talk more about this on the Rack Thursday night, 11 p.m. right here on wildtalkradio.com. Do you think we'll get Dr. Shelby back with the marital discord?
It'd be interesting. I doubt it, but I would like to see it. This is the best way to put it. So we'll talk more about that Thursday on the show. Up next, The Miz is brought to the ring. He's in street clothes, and Michael Cole says the following: The Miz is here to do something. Yeah, something. Because you...
Way to put him over, guys.
Mm-hmm. Because you, the WWE fans, get to do it on the thing that they have called... It's an app? I've never heard of this before tonight. They have an app.
Oh my god, they have an app?
Yes, they have an app. And it lets you watch things, and you can vote on things. And tonight you could determine what The Miz does, whether he's the ring announcer, the commentator, or the referee for the match. And you, the fans who downloaded this app thing, decided that The Miz will be the special guest referee. Like, 85% of you thought that he should be guest referee. I don't know why, but you guys did.
Before you go on, I have to comment that I don't normally find them as attractive, but him just stripping his shirt off with that zeal right there in the middle of the ring and demanding the ref shirt was really hot. Anyway, go on.
Wade Barrett took on Fandango.
Bravo to Wade for timing his entrance properly tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Bravo.
He timed it properly. We will give him lots and lots of credit for that. He timed it perfectly tonight.
And I have to say, with the right timing and the new music, it works for him.
Yes, he's gotten his entrance down pat.
Thank goodness.
So this match was really short, and the finish was Miz attacked Barrett and hit the skull-crushing finale on him, allowing Fandango to get the victory for the 1-2-3. So Fandango has beaten Wade Barrett, which means he will be close to an Intercontinental title in the very near future. But then who beat
Fandango?
And then, while they were dancing and celebrating, Miz kicked Fandango right in the head, allowing Summer Rae to fall on top of Fandango, and he counted to three. So Summer Rae, a.k.a., you know, Miss Fandango, is 1-0 in her career. She beat Fandango, according to JBL.
Go her!
So, yeah. That was a thing. It was there. It happened. It seems we're going to get a three-way program, Miz, Fandango, and Barrett, I think. Which won't be that bad.
It won't be bad. You'll get some good talking out of Miz. He can carry most of the promo work. Barrett's solid in the ring. Miz is solid in the ring, so they can kind of sort of help carry Fandango a little bit, which will be good.
My gut tells me Miz gets the belt off, Fandango gets the belt off of Barrett, and then Miz chases Fandango. Possibly. But then...
Hopefully, because hopefully Barrett gets Money in the Bank.
Alright. Now we move on to a backstage segment.
Are you sure you want to do this?
I know what you're trying to do. Listen, I don't back down from challenges. You know that.
That's awesome. That's awesome, John. That makes you brave. Not necessarily smart, but brave. You know, I saw what Ryback did to you at Extreme Rules. Okay? And it wasn't pretty. All right? You know, I tried to tell Hunter the same thing. You know, you guys, you rush back. You try to get out there. You don't understand, okay? You guys don't ever listen. You just go and you do what you want. You absolutely never listen. I'm the voice of reason, but you never, ever listen.
Yeah. Reminds me of someone else I know. You.
Did Cena own Sean?
A little bit. A little bit. He owned him a little bit. Yeah. Shawn Michaels and his beard showed up for Raw. Randomly.
It's a manly beard. It's a very manly beard.
Right. So, yeah. In the world we live, Shawn Michaels and Kane are our voices of reason.
That's terrifying. Sean, okay, fine. Sean has been the voice of reason for a couple years now. Kane is now a voice of reason. The psycho monster has gained his sanity and is telling people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Where the fuck did this happen?
Kane embraced the hate and then, you know, the hate left him and he's now the voice of reason.
He needs to get the hate back because I'm a little scared. Like, what happens when he and Brian split? Does that mean Brian's going to become the psycho?
Right.
And Kane's going to be the sane one?
Mm-hmm.
That's scary!
Yeah, that's kind of, scary.
I'm a little terrified right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Speaking of being terrified... 6-man tag team action. 3-man band takes on Grey Kali, Tensai, and Brodus Clay. Yeah. I don't know what to say. Team Tons of Funk won.
It was a match. It was there. They celebrated Natty's birthday. Kali sang. This is the official point where the show took a nosedive.
Mm-hmm. Now I ask the question, do we want to hear Kali sing?
No. No, we do not.
You sure?
Don't you do it. Don't do it.
You sure?
That's a bad producer.
But, oh, alright, fine, fine.
Bad. No.
Fine, 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 I won't. So yes, on the Saint Natty, Tons of Funk one. We move on. It is now time for what they call the highlight reel.
When Paul Heyman takes a raw piece of talent and discovers and develops that new talent, like what I have done with Curtis Axel, who last week took out Triple H and tonight steps up to the plate against the WWE champion John Cena.
Well, I have to be honest, I've been a big fan of Curtis Axel for a long time. I think he's got tremendous potential, but I don't want to talk about Curtis Axel. I want to talk about your other client.
Barack Lesnar! And I am so glad that you brought that up, Mr. Jericho. I am so proud to be the advocate for Brock Lesnar, the only man to hold the NCAA Division I Heavyweight Championship.
Paul, would you please shut the hell up? I don't want to talk about Curtis Axel. I don't care what Brock Lesnar's doing on his spring break. The Paul Heyman guy that I want to talk about is your other client. CM Punk.
What do you, Chris, what do you want me to tell you? You want me to come out here and I mean, CM Punk said it himself. The man was the longest reigning defending WWE champion of the past 25 years. He held the title for 434 consecutive days, and he didn't have to come out here and say stupid things like, I'm the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. No, he was the best in the world. He dominated WWE like no other champion before him, and he never got the respect.
Blah blah blah. Where is CM Punk?
My client and I will have an announcement coming in the next few weeks right here on Raw regarding, ladies and gentlemen, I assure you, the return of the best in the world.
No. CM Punk is not allowed to sit at home for 6 weeks and still be referred to as the best in the world.
Well, I have a client sitting at home in Chicago right now who would vehemently, vehemently disagree with your assessment, Mr. Jericho.
Well, he wasn't in Chicago.
Chris Jericho is the best.
Don't say it.
Chris Jericho is the best.
It's not yours to say. You don't have a right to claim that title.
Well, it's definitely not Punk's right anymore. Like I said, if he wants to stay at home in Chicago, then he can't be best in the world. Unless, of course, he decides to come to Payback and prove it by facing me one-on-one on pay-per-view once again.
Let me get this straight. You're going to negotiate with me now? With all due respect, Mr. Jericho, I know you could mop the floor with me, but you don't get to dictate terms to Paul Heyman and CM Punk.
Okay, fair enough. Let Punk stay at home, and let me say right now that Chris Jericho, and everyone can say it with me, Chris Jericho is the best in the world at what I do.
You, Chris Jericho, want a match with CM Punk in Chicago, CM Punk's hometown. You, Chris Jericho, want a match with CM Punk in Chicago, his hometown, at Payback. Well, Chris Jericho, on behalf of my client, CM Punk, I accept.
Well, thank you. I guess I'll see you in Chicago. And tell Punk, after Payback, he will never, ever be the same again.
Alright, so before we get into that, there's a couple things missing. One, Jericho called him everything that told Seth he was a genius to a walrus, and we got a walrus chant. We also heard from that, Paul Heyman brought up that he's the one who discovered Chris Jericho. So, Lindsay, that means Paul Heyman invented everything?
I guess by default?
By default, he invented everything, yes. One thing they cut, a couple things they cut out was, when Jericho asked that question first, you know, he talked about how in the footage they showed that Paul Heyman was wearing the same suit 6 weeks ago and wearing it tonight. And, you know, he gave the reason. It's his favorite suit, and he wanted to show Jericho some respect. It was his favorite suit, so he wore it on his show. Because it's his favorite suit, which is gold from Paul Heyman.
What's wrong with wearing your favorite suit?
Nothing. There's nothing wrong with it. Gotta show it off. And there's one other point where they talk about, you know, CM Punk's at home watching. And he went, hi, Punk.
That was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I laughed my ass off. Well played, Jericho.
And though I will say this, to break the fourth wall, Punk was at a baseball game.
Shh.
I'm sorry, he tweeted it out. He was watching. He tweeted a picture like of him where his seats were watching a baseball game. He was at the Angels-Dodgers game. And he tweeted the picture out during the middle of the segment. So, Punk timed it well.
Which means somebody told Punk, hey, guess what? Jericho's going to call you out at home, and so you need to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Heyman, hint, hint, wink, wink.
That was a great segment. And I'm looking forward to Payback because we get Jericho and Punk.
I'm a little conflicted by this, because I'm excited that Punk is coming back. Don't get me wrong. I'm really excited to see Punk coming back. My issue is that I feel a little cheated that they're just basically going to waste it with Punk and Jericho, you know, where it's basically Jericho comes out. Well, I want a match with CM Punk, because I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of would like to see it where Punk comes back, or through Heyman, Punk actually declines the match, where it's, no, I don't want to fight him.
Could we be seeing some tension play out between Punk and Heyman?
I think we could.
My gut tells me we don't see Punk until Payback.
Yeah, I mean, because there's no story to it. There's no any real mystery to it. So that's why I'm kind of wondering if, you know, it's Punk's going to contact Heyman and be like, I never told you to do that. I never authorized that, because technically he is Punk's quote-unquote representative, which means he should have to clear everything with Punk first.
Right.
So I can see Punk telling him, I didn't give you the authority to do that. I'm not interested in fighting Jericho. I'm not interested in appearing in the pay-per-view. I'm not interested in coming back, period. So you need to fix it.
Someone threw out on Twitter the scenario. Since they're in Chicago, and, you know, Punk just doesn't show up. Music plays, he just doesn't come out.
That'd be very interesting to see.
And then in that person's scenario, they said, but RVD shows up.
Yeah, no. You could have it where, I think Punk no showing would do a lot, because it would still keep him heel, and it would get him the booze that he probably needs at this stage, because he's been sending out a lot of really interesting tweets lately.
His latest one yesterday was, I hate wrestling.
So, the fact that you're kind of sort of playing up the fact that Punk has lost his smile, he's going to movie premieres, he's going to baseball games, he's going everywhere that he really wants to go. He's basically pseudo-retired, at least, as far as this is concerned, where it's, well, I've done everything I want to do, why should I come back?
Right, and you know...
Because, I mean...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, as far as Jericho goes, he can look at Jericho and go, I fought you, I beat you. I don't need to face you again.
True. Very true. So we'll see where this goes. It has me intrigued.
It has me intrigued, but hesitant.
Well, that's usually how it goes with their ankles. Up next, the Bella Twins take on Caitlin and Natalya.
Poor Natty.
Natty was dominant, had the sharpshooter on one of the Bellas. That got broken up. Caitlin tried to spear a Bella. The Bella moved, hit Natty. The Bella covered Natty. Then the Bella sung happy birthday to Natty, calling her a loser in her own hometown.
Which is so wrong.
Well, they gave her the bright moment, and then they had her do the job. WWE Booking 101?
Yeah, WWE Booking 101, sadly.
It is their vintage booking, pretty much. So, we move on, because there's not much really to say about that. We have Curtis Axel backstage.
Hey, kid. You look a lot like your dad.
Hey, you guys had some legendary matches back in the day.
We sure did. Your dad put me through some of the hardest matches of my entire career.
Did you see what I did to Triple H last week?
Yeah, I did see what you did to Triple H last week. Let me give you some advice. The best thing you can do is get rid of that bum Paul Heyman and get him out of your corner.
Listen, just because you knew my dad doesn't mean you know me. You don't know anything about me. Before last week, when I took out Triple H, nobody would give me the time of day. Except for Paul Heyman. He's the only one that believed in me. So you go on and enjoy your appreciation night. I'm gonna go beat the WWE champion.
That was a nice little segment.
It was a nice little segment. Nice reference to the past. Nice promo by... I want to call him...
Right.
Nice promo by Axel.
Right.
Good reference to the history. So, yeah, it was a nice little spot.
Now, speaking of promos, before we get to the next match, we got an interesting promo for the Wyatt family.
Hey, hey.
Now, we'll get more into this on Thursday when Lindsay Reek tells the stories about the show that she went to on Friday. But yeah, Bray Wyatt, huh?
I'm curious to know if it's just Bray or if it's the whole family.
It's the family. Brody Lee, Eric Roman, they're all coming.
That's going to be a really unique and interesting dynamic in the company, especially if it's booked properly.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not seen the Wyatt family, and I'll admit, I had heard of him, but I had never really seen him, and I did a lot of research on it over the weekend because they piqued my interest with him. Go watch him. I told Rock when I saw him Friday that he reminded me of a cross between Phineas Godwin, Brother Love, and the Sinister Minister.
Mm-hmm.
To which then Rock was picturing Brother Love with a beard.
She gave me nightmares.
But yeah, he's... The promo that they played, they've done creepier stuff, and it's kind of like a House of a Thousand Corpses type stuff. And I can't find a better word other than interesting.
I'm interested.
So yeah, if it's the whole Wyatt family, this is going to be unique.
We then move on to Randy Orton and Sheamus taking on Team Road Scholars. Good match.
Very good match.
In the end, Orton and Sheamus got the victory over the Road Scholars. They gave this time. It was competitive throughout. And I guess we can tell we have the next challengers for the Shield.
I guess we do.
Because this Friday on SmackDown, it will be Randy Orton versus Dean Ambrose.
Which should be a good match.
Mm-hmm. Then it's main event time. John Cena, Curtis Axel. Good match.
It was a good match if the crowd had paid attention to most of it.
Yeah. Because I was waiting to talk about that, but apparently we're not going to get that information through that source. But we'll just tell you what the source told us. Yeah, the crowd was distracted because there was a massive brawl in the stands. About 50 security were getting involved. You had Calgary police dragging about 7 people out. And that's why for a while there was a big rest hold, and they were focusing in on the rest hold and then nothing else.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden, it's like you're sitting there watching the match, and you watch everybody in the front row turn and look away from the ring, and they're looking away for a good 5 to 10 minutes of this match. For pretty much for the majority of the match, they weren't watching it.
Yeah.
They were watching the brawl instead.
And you could tell everything was timed a little off, because usually the announcers do their, you know, Michael Cole does the comeback thing at 11 o'clock. You're listening to, you're watching Monday Night Raw here on USA. He did it like 3 minutes after the fact. So you can tell they were dragging it out a little bit.
Yeah, and they were doing their best to pull people in, and then eventually people obviously came back in and started watching it again. But it was one of those things where you're like, okay then.
Mm-hmm. But the finish saw John Cena being distracted because sirens blared and an ambulance rode in. Cena was going for the ambulance, opened the door, there's no Ryback. He opens the back door, there's no Ryback, and then Ryback attacks him from behind. They brawl a little bit. They teased Cena going through the wall. He moved. He then tried to get up Ryback up for the attitude adjustment, but no, not to be. Cena got shoved off the stage. Ryback went through the curtain, and that's how Raw went off the air. With the winner of the match via countout, Curtis Axel.
And I kind of have to complain on this a little bit, because it's nice that they're putting him up against formidable contenders.
Mm-hmm.
But, or I'm sorry, formidable opponents. Let me get my wording right. But it's one of those things where it's, he's now technically beaten Triple H by countout. He never pinned Triple H. He's now not pinned John Cena, and it's like, nobody's going to remember the match, but everybody's going to remember the victory. And that's the problem, is that the victory is hollow in the sense that he didn't actually beat them.
Right.
And so it would do him a better service if he could, you know, pin John Cena, pin Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he doesn't pin Triple H, pin John Cena, or at least starting to win by pin,
right.
So that way it's a better build for him, because right now it's just like, oh yeah, great, you can get somebody counted out. Way to go.
Right. Well, it's a step, I guess. I guess the best way to put it is a step. We'll see where it goes, I suppose. It's basically it's a wait and see. We'll see what they do next week and the week after and the week after that, and so on and so forth. So this is where I do this and I say, hopefully everyone has enjoyed everything that's been happening tonight on the show. Hopefully everyone enjoyed tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw, because it was an interesting show. It was a really interesting show in terms of, we got, you know, the tease for Punk, and we got the tease, well, not tease, we got the tease for the Wyatt family, and then we got the change of a stipulation for the main event at Payback. The only thing we haven't gotten is the update on Dolph Ziggler. And that's getting scary if we haven't heard anything yet. It's been a few weeks and there's been no update whatsoever. And it's got to make you wonder, is he going to be ready for Payback in 3 weeks? And with the way his concussion happened, he could be ready in a day, he could be ready in a week, and he could be ready the day before the pay-per-view. We're getting close to that point where they're going to have to figure out what they're doing with the World Heavyweight title. I think they're going to probably try to stretch it till next week. I can see it happening a week later. Trying to book the World title match 1 week out, that's That's difficult. So I would keep an eye on what's going on with the world title. That's just my feeling on that. I want to know what you guys think. Let me know. Send an email to media@wildtalkradio.com and or tweet us your reactions to that. It's going to be interesting. This whole thing with Ziggler. I want to know your reactions to it. So we'll try to figure that out, and maybe we'll answer that question on the rack Thursday night. But this has been, you know, that's a little too loud. Let's do it like that. And this has been another edition of the Raw Post Show right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can catch us every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. It will be Carlito, Gangrel, and Paul Diamond. Three guests, one show. Check it out. Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Wednesday night's Cheap Heat Radio with Scott Barry and Matthew Forsina. Thursday night, it's The Rack with Lindsay Ward, 11 p.m. Eastern. Right, Lindsay?
That's right. Tune in for a TNA Rate recap, our Slammiversary preview, all the news notes of the week, and my recap of the WWE house show that came through Salt Lake City this past Friday night. And no, I did not get arrested. Thank you, Kane Kittens.
Even though she tried.
Even though I tried really hard, I did not get arrested. I had a friend with me, and he stopped me.
Right. Saturday night, midnight-ish, at CB Radio with myself, Ron Parks, and somebody weird, the wacky, the unusual. Go back and listen to this past week's show. We talked a lot about music and how there's an artist called Little Poopy. And he's like...
Music or painter?
Music. Little Poopy. He's 10 years old.
Okay, then.
He's a rapper. Mm-hmm. Little Poopy. Yeah. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mason, Omega, me, and Lindsay, because it's a Slammiversary review, so you want to check that out. We'll be back, as I said, next Monday for another edition of Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter, @WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, WTRProductions.net, Lindsay.
You always ask me right as I take a drink of water. Follow me on Twitter, @LinsWard, LinsWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Go to my DeviantArt, linswarddeviantart.com. And, of course, check out CassidyRiley.net. The Rack, Thursday nights, 11 p.m. right here on wildtalkradio.com. RackRadioShow.com. And please listen to all the other fine programming on the network.
Thanks to Memeline Promo and PWMania.com. We'll see you next Monday night live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network for another edition of the Raw Post Show on the airwaves right here. WildTalkRadio.com. You're late. We ended.
We just got, I just got to my car like less than 5 minutes ago. My phone died on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what we're gonna do right here and say this: if you're listening on Shoutcast, you're listening to a special post exclusive edition of the Raw Post Show with Tim.
Oh, the Raw Post Show's already over? Wow, I missed it.
The music just finished playing as we ended the show, but we're still on
Shoutcast. There you go. Ooh, nice legs. Anyway.
So let's, you know, this is an exclusive for people listening on the, you know, archive only. So tell us about
the show. There you go. What, you mean, whoa, you're not doing this live?
We're kind of live, it's on Shoutcast.
Yeah, I closed everything.
Only on Shoutcast, that's terrible. Yeah, no, we were actually, that's how my phone died. We were actually listening to you guys on Shoutcast on my phone while I was getting a ride to my car.
Ah.
And I killed the battery.
Good job, Tim.
Yeah, right now I'm following Bacon. We're going to go for coffee.
Sweet. tweet. So, tell us about the show. What'd you think of it?
Well, the best part of the show tonight was the fight in the stands that I told you about as it was happening, and you let everybody know. And I heard you guys talking about it just as we're pulling into the Holiday Inn parking lot.
Right, and Scott Fishman from the Miami Herald took, you know, the story and ran with it and put it on his Twitter, too, that from your report.
What, from my report?
Yeah, because I put it out on Twitter, what was going on.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there was a whole bunch of security. It broke out of nowhere. And I was just, where we were sitting was in the second level, directly across from the Titantron, looking right down. And I don't know what the hell that was. It sounded like somebody was trying to make a phone call.
Right.
Still there?
Yeah, okay. We're here.
Anyway, I just... What the hell?
That's you, Tim.
Yeah, that's you. That's on
us. I don't know. I do not know how I wound up calling you guys like that. The phone's hooked up to my ear right now. That's weird.
Okay.
Anyway, you're going to have a long-ass voicemail while we're done because I'm not going to bother trying to hang up that call while I'm driving.
Well, it only goes 10 minutes, so, you know.
Yeah, there you go. I looked just to the right and saw a commotion, and I'm looking over there. What the fuck? Hey, there's a fight going on. Next thing you know, like a split second later, security is pouring out. Mm-hmm. At first, it was just 3 and 4, and then all of a sudden 10, and then the whole flood of them came up from underneath the seats. Just flew into there to break it all up, and they escorted like 5 people out, and a couple security remained behind. Apparently, family of some of the people involved in the fight were also escorted out, but to a different exit.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of different.
So for you, that was the best part of the night.
That was the best part of the night. Let me tell you, this is not my words. Believe it or not, these are not my words, but. Naturally, I'm running into all these people who go to Canadian All-Pro wrestling shows, and, you know, they're fans of Canadian All-Pro. They're talking to me in the middle of the show that the stuff that they see with us is a lot more entertaining. The wrestling is tighter. It's not as boring. I don't know how the tag team match with the Shield and Team Hell No came off on TV. Was it entertaining?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because live, after about 10 minutes, the crowd just lost total interest. It just got boring and too drawn out. They popped for the pop spots naturally, but after that, they just quieted right down and zoned out.
That was probably when they went to commercial break.
Quite possibly.
Because, you know, there's that 3-minute gap where they just probably not do much.
Yeah, and starting off with John Cena yapping on the mic in the middle of the ring, of course, naturally, you can expect crap like that. Went on way too long. Way too long. The crowd was just getting really, really antsy. But right. For the most part, they were a pretty hot crowd. They were pretty live tonight.
Apparently, you were the cause of chance.
Yeah, we actually started 70% of the chants that were going on. And I was the ringleader. We're just having a great old time, just for the hell of it. You know, there it goes again. Anyway, just for the hell of it, and we're having a great old time. Just starting all these different chants going. And the ones that got picked up that you were actually heard on TV were chants that that we were guilty of creating, causing, disturbing.
So what made you decide to chant Michael Cole?
Just because.
Just because? Okay.
We were just, you know, I'm like, what?
Why didn't you put yourself over?
Watch, I think we can get in the champ. Yeah, sure enough, you know, cupping the hands in front of the face. What?
Why didn't you try to put yourself over?
What? Well, because people, you know, for the majority of them don't know Canadian All-Pro, right?
Right.
Well, that's why you start chanting it and see if people pick it up.
Yeah, see, no. People wouldn't pick it up because they wouldn't know what you're chanting. But you get one person doing it in front of you, 3 people beside them, 10 people in front of them. Next thing you know, it just spreads. Anyway, so that's what's going on. You know, yeah.
All right, so what was your favorite match?
Tell you the truth, I'm hard-pressed to pick a match that was my favorite, that you could say was my favorite. It was... there in person, it was a very average show. It wasn't any one thing that really stood out a whole bunch. I mean, I was really enjoying Dean Hell No versus The Shield for the first 10 minutes of the match, but definitely that match was 5 minutes longer than it should have been.
Right.
Yeah. But live, at least for the length of time that everybody was into it and having a good time, it was match of the night.
Well, considering the only other qualifier would have been Randy Orton and Sheamus taking on Road Scholars.
Well, you know, that was fine, and they had a whole bunch of little kids in front of us who were really big, huge Randy Orton fans, so they were all happy about that.
Which is good.
Match. Yeah, and I got to put the phone down because there's a cop right behind me, and there's a distracted driving law in Calgary. I can't talk on the phone.
I thought you had Bluetooth. Apparently he doesn't have Bluetooth.
So I can't hear anything you're saying. I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't have the phone in my ear right now.
So let's take some shots at Tim. So Tim Stein is blank. As we wait for the cop to go by. So for those listening to this part of the show, exclusive to the archive, because we were not broadcasting live at this point, because somebody showed up late. And I couldn't even do my fancy introduction either.
You had a fancy introduction?
I did have a fancy introduction. But, you know, I can't use it now since it's already on the show.
Good lord, did he get on an airplane?
Maybe. I'm waiting for him to get ripped by the cop. So we can stop stalling and stuff. This is still live on Shotcast. What's he doing with the ducks? Sound like ducks quacking.
Can't hear me, huh? Well, damn. Okay, can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. It's such riveting entertainment right now from the car.
I'm sure that was really boring and noisy and shit like that, but yeah, I don't want like another $150 ticket.
You've gotten one before.
What's that?
You've gotten one before.
Well, not for distracted driving, but for speeding through green lights.
Good job, Tim.
That's a bit of a no-no, kiddies.
Yeah. Apparently,
yeah.
Apparently, you're driving a lawnmower.
No, I'm driving a car that has a hole in the exhaust system.
God, your car's already breaking down, Jesus.
It's not breaking down, crying out loud, like that when I bought it. It's just like loud, man. But that's one of the things I'm going to show my, that, you know, I'm going to teach my son how to fix and shit.
Aha, I'm using an excuse.
Yeah.
Got it.
There you go. Yeah.
So. Before we get to the what happened after the show that only people on this app thing got to see, and if you're in Canada got to see.
In Canada, you saw it on Score TV. Yes, that's exactly right. Hang on just a second. Hey, guess what? I'm live on the radio.
Are you?
Yeah. You want to come say hi? What you do is you yell out, hi.
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 Kim's a sexy bitch.
There you go. Are you still there? Are you flabbergasted? What?
How much did you pay her to say that?
How much did I pay you to do that?
A lot!
Oh, you didn't know? You are so in trouble, woman.
What?
You know why. Anyway, yeah, we're gonna have to coffee at Tim Hortons in a minute, so.
Alright, then quickly, Bret Hart appreciation, tell us.
Bret Hart appreciation, it was typical standard, everybody popped for Shawn Michaels. And then booed him after he came out and did his thing, and it wasn't a huge thing. It was, and you could tell everybody was having fun doing it, and gets on the mic and says, well, that wasn't as bad as I expected. That was pretty good. Yeah, thank you guys for doing that. And, yeah, it was all, you know. And Bret is, oh, of course, you know, doing all the rising 14-year career and WWE. And, well, I can't do voices, but you get the idea.
What? You can't do voices? I swore you could
do
voices.
And then at the very end of it, the entire locker room emptied out and came out to cheer on Bret.
Okay, so was it worth?
What did he rate
not
the segment?
Well.
Was
I can't do them well.
What did he rate the segment? Was it 4 out of 10?
The Oh, yeah. No, Bret Hart didn't actually rate the segment, believe it or not, because, like, he was in it, so it wouldn't have been a 4 out of 10 because it was Bret Hart.
Well, you should know that after the promo with Daniel Bryan Kane, there was already a 4 out of 10 meme within, like, 10 minutes.
Well, there you go. I'm not surprised.
So, fun time tonight?
It was good. And after the show, we handed out 1,000 flyers for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
So, hopefully, at least, you know, 200 of them show up.
Well, that would be great if 200 of them showed up. Everybody's nodding their head, yo. I mean, I'm here with half of my black shirt security, and then another lovely young lady who likes to volunteer at the concession stand, merchandising.
Have your black shirt, head of security.
Well, yeah, okay, head of security.
Thank you.
Puppy's not here, the big one.
Right.
And Ian is just pulled up. There you go.
So there you
Ian
go.
Ian and Libby have just pulled up.
So, thank
and
you.
And Anna. So the gang's all here.
the gang's all here, ready to have some coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yep.
Hey, look, I just got a message from you on Skype. Oh, look, it's a voicemail. How about that?
Yeah, that's weird. I do not know why my phone insists on calling you continually. But everybody's going inside for coffee.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So you spread the word, and you had a fun
yep.
time.
We spread the word. We had a good time. Ran into a lot of people who happen to know who we are, and a couple of people who don't. And, Rock, I will talk to you later about somebody who basically walked right by me, muttered under his breath.
And he hangs up. Like, what the fuck? He hangs up on us. He hangs up on us. Wow.
He wanted that coffee.
He wanted that coffee. Really, really bad. So we're going to end this right here. We thank Tim Stein for calling in after the fact and all that fun stuff. So for Tim Stein, I'm Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Ward. This has been the Post Show. And, yeah, it was only heard on...
WildTalkRadio.com.